Hey, it's Reverend Lindsay again with this week's sermonette, meditation, musing, if you will. You just heard, or maybe you just read for yourself, a long story from John's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. It's a passage that, again, focuses on a one-to-one encounter Jesus has with someone, though here, a larger community gets involved too. And as I said in the scripture introduction, at first glance, our story seems to be a healing story, the granting of sight to someone blind from birth. But it's not just about a person who gains physical sight, but also about someone who comes to see Jesus for who he really is, and others who don't, maybe can't, see Jesus clearly. It's also about someone seen by Jesus. And I should mention that in Jesus' time, a common and not unbiblical idea was that physical disability was the result of sin, either the sin of the disabled ones or of their parents. The book of Exodus says, "The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Ouch! Not something I want to hear. Though, hasn't, for instance, the iniquity of slavery been visited upon the descendants of American slaveholders and slaves alike? Isn't there some serious atoning to be done all these generations later? Still, the idea of sin being made manifest in physical illness or infirmity, as with the blind man in our story, is something Jesus refutes, thank God. And contemporary disability rights proponents would agree with his insistence that there is nothing sinful or bad or wrong about being differently abled. Many would say, in fact, that there is nothing inherently disabling about so-called disability, which, as I get older, I appreciate. There are things that I can't do anymore, or I can't do in the same way anymore. So I just do them differently, and maybe more slowly, maybe not, maybe better even so. Different is often neither better nor worse. It's just different. That said, while we want to be sensitive to the dignity and gifts of those whose bodies don't function the same way that ours may, the fact is that in Jesus' day, and let's face it, sometimes in ours, disability meant outcast status, meant an inability to earn one's living, often begging was the only option for survival. So, of course, everyone wanted to know, whose fault is it? Because if people or their parents brought their disabilities on themselves, then if we're really, really careful, really, really good, we won't have to worry that we'll be infected, disabled. As if it was that simple. Anyway, I also remind you that in John's Gospel, miracles are always signs pointing the way to God, and that light and dark are John's metaphors for faith and lack of faith. Still, in this story, the man who is blind actually receives his sight, and not by some kind of wand-waving magical miracle, but by very earthy means. So there is a lot to talk about. But I'm going to keep it simple and short this time. Though, the nice thing about this worship podcast is, if you fall asleep listening to me, I'll never know. But here's what I want to lift up today and to ask you to think about. Some think that this story is about the real life experience of the community for whom the Gospel of John was written. A community made up mostly of people who had been banished from the synagogue, from their place of worship and community, that is, for the sin of proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah. So it could be that this story is about people who, because they followed Jesus, felt isolated and alone, like the blind man. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of us have been cast out of our communities for being a Christian, though we spoke recently in our Bible study about the way that our generally liberal, not so religious New Yorkery communities are often mistrustful of people of faith. They don't always get that Christians are not necessarily gun-toting, Bible-quoting, MAGA hat-wearing good old folks. So we may feel reluctant to talk about our faith, our church, in mixed company. But on a whole different level, I imagine that many, if not all of us, right now, are feeling isolated, lonely, fearful, grief-stricken even. We feel lost and cut off from our communities in a very real way, because we are. Social distancing, we are told, is the best way to stop the spread of this virus. And I am totally on board with that, obviously. We all have to be responsible and wise, not just for our own sakes, but for the sakes of our neighbors. But it goes against the grain, right? It is easier said than done, and when we do it, it doesn't feel good. It, in a word, stinks. And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Does this story speak to us in our condition? Or rather, let me ask, does this story speak to you? And maybe later you'll call up a friend and talk about how or why not. So here's what this story says to me in this time, this place. It says, whatever my condition, Jesus first notices me, sees me, and then is not only there for me, as the modern phrase goes, he is willing to get down and dirty on my behalf. He is willing to get closer than I may feel comfortable with. I mean, did you hear what he did? He spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva and dirt, and then he spread the mud on the man's eyes. Gross, right? Especially now, when we'd all be running for the soap and the hand sanitizer and the bleach if someone tried that on us. But current health crisis and normal health and safety practices aside, you know what it makes me think of? When you were a kid, did your mom ever lick her thumb or spit into a tissue to wash a streak of dirt off your face? It's so personal, so intimate. Something only a mom or a dad would do, someone who really loved you and felt they had the right to break through your personal space boundaries. And it's what Jesus did for a total stranger. Imagine a God who is so intimate with God's people, so almost intrusively intimate, in order to make us pay attention, in order to make us feel clean, to make us feel whole, to make us feel welcomed and embraced and not alone. Imagine a God who takes the ordinary things of this world, dirt, spit, water, bread, wine, and makes them agents of divine grace. Just imagine. To God alone be the glory. Talk to you later, and God be with you until we meet again. Amen.